All right, the movie stars Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss Everdeen. You may have seen her in X-Men First Class as Mystique. Isn't, there you go. Do you know me? No, I don't. Sorry. Okay. She did a movie called Winter's Bone. In Winter's Bone, she actually had to learn how to skin squirrels and chop wood and to fight. And this, and Hunger Games, the second movie within 2 years, where she actually goes out and plays a character who feeds her destitute family by trying to shoot and kill squirrels. Very interesting. Okay, the next guy in the movie is Liam Hemsworth. That is him, and he's Gale Hawthorne. This is his more famous brother, Thor, standing next to him. Yes, okay. Next, Elizabeth Banks. So Elizabeth Banks, she plays Evie Trinket. Evie Trinket appears in all three of the books. She's featured prominently in the movie, but here's the interesting thing. You will never hear her name mentioned in the movie. Don't know why. She also played in the first three Spider-Man movies. She was Betty Brant, the ones with Tobey Maguire, the terrible ones. The new one was so much better. She also plays on 30 Rock, but here she is side by side, so you can see the comparison. Yeah, right, yeah, there you go. Next is Josh Hutcherson. All right, he plays PETA. I can never stand Josh. He's in all kinds of horrible kids movies like Firehouse Dog and RV and Journey to the Center of the Earth. Just, I know, I'm offending all the kids because I hate their movies, but whatever. All right, next is Woody Harrelson. Okay, this is Haymitch. I almost refuse to talk about him because I dislike him so much. Seriously, never mind. If you want to know why, I'll tell you later. Anyway, he's a vegetarian in real life, so any scenes where you see him eating, he's actually either drinking or eating dessert or vegetables in the movie. So here's some trivia for you. The name Katniss is derived from a group of edible plants. Oh, I thought you were waving to me. What's that? No? All right. Commonly known in our vernacular as Arrowhead, so this is a reference to her archery skills. The fictional nation in the film is called Panem, and this is actually goes back to when Rome ruled the world and they did bread and circuses. This is called Panem and Circuses. This is bread and circuses where they would give people bread, but they'd also do these violent games for sport to keep the masses happy. There's tons of up close, and if you haven't seen the movie, you're going to be like, man, can't the director pull the camera back a little bit because he's always in people's faces. Drove me nuts. It's actually much nicer watching it on a smaller screen than if you're, because you're like, oh my goodness. He did that on purpose because he thought it gave, you know, rise to the action, how the characters were feeling, and give you a point of view of what Katniss would have in the movie. Now we're horsing around on the set. Apparently Jennifer Lawrence accidentally kicked Josh Hutcherson in the head and knocked him out, resulting in a concussion. So I think that's also awesome. Elizabeth Banks, when you see her in the movie, look at her fingernails. Every day she was on set, she spent 45 minutes having manicures done on those fingers for her acting. There's a guy in the movie who plays a guy named Cato. The guy that played Cato actually spent 4 hours every day with U.S. Navy SEAL teams to get into shape for this movie, and he's not in it a whole lot, so I don't know why, but whatever. This is actually the first film not released by a big studio like Fox or Disney or Paramount or Warner Brothers, Columbia Universal to gross over $400 million in the United States alone. Jennifer Lawrence also auditioned for the role of Bella Swan in the Twilight movies. Went to Kristen Stewart, which I think the movies would have been probably much better if Jennifer Lawrence got the part personally, but whatever. I'm going to just cap on every movie out there tonight. Jennifer Lawrence, she was raised by her father, who's the owner of a construction company. Her mother ran a summer camp. She was really very down to earth kind of growing up. She was a tomboy when she was young. She didn't diet like all the other girls did. Actually, in the April issue of 17 Magazine, this is what she said. She goes, I'm so sick of these young girls with diets. I remember when I was 13 and it was cool to pretend to have an eating disorder because there were rumors that Lindsay Lohan and Nicole Richie were anorexic. I thought it was crazy. I went home and told my mom, nobody's eating bread. I just had to finish everyone's hamburgers. Nice, right? Yeah. So as we start, I don't want to give too much away of the movie, but what I want you to look at and understand before we start is Jesus' life and teachings in everything that happens. When Jesus was on this earth, his views were revolutionary, where people wanted war. He taught peace, where they were rebellious against Rome. He taught obedience to a point where they wanted violent justice. He taught mercy. He was not afraid of popular opinion, which made a big impression on the leaders of Israel and the leaders of Rome, and they killed him for it. But despite Rome's best efforts to end Christ's influence, he emerges from the grave triumphant. Now, through the movie, we know Katniss is not Jesus. Trust me in this. But in the same way, in the Hunger Games, she's kind of a revolutionary of sorts to all the districts of the capital. It begins as an attempt to save her sister's life, which I'm not giving anything away by that. You'll see that. And then in the end, it shakes the capital to its core. Now, what I want you to notice in the movie, as you go through, if you've read the books or watched this movie, God is nowhere mentioned. Positively or negatively, it's just not even a thought on the horizon. So I want you to kind of keep that in mind as you go through the movie and see how some actions are reflected in what that looks like. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being a God who gives us the gift of cinema and to be able to enjoy those things. And tonight, we ask that we would not just enjoy this movie, but also think critically about the things we allow into our brains. And then how that then comes out in our lives and how we live. Amen. Here you go.
Kids killing each other.
Right. Anybody read the books? Okay, a few. Okay. Anybody besides me really bummed out when you see them ride out on the chariot and the flames that are on them? It's totally lame. It's like, anybody ever see the movie Dune? It's like they're wearing steel suits from Dune, right? And they lit them on fire. It doesn't look anything like it does in the book. It's really sad. Okay, so your thoughts. What do you guys think? It's long, okay. What else? A government that cheats, go figure. What else? Anybody? Parallels? Not letting society change you.
A friend of mine posted something on Facebook like, I can't imagine anything. Like, it was too preposterous to her that society would have this killing bloodbath between children. But what I thought of was, what do you think about Hitler Youth?
Yep.
You know? And it's the same sort of thing, a dictator. Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, look at the shows like Big Brother and what's that other tropical island show?
Survivor? Survivor. Yeah. I've never actually seen an episode, so. You're off the island. That's all I know. I don't even know what it really means. All right, there's a few things. I think everyone in all the districts, they're angered over the callousness of the capital, the cruelty of the games. Katniss, what she does in the movie with, and in the books, you really see that she doesn't even realize she's doing this, but she starts to provide a voice for all these people. Katniss is like, I think, a lot of young people today. They have a lot of desire to see a lot of things change. They don't really know how to go about that. And this is today you see in a lot of misguided causes that are out there. And I mean, there's a lot of things that the government pitches to a lot of people today that people just kind of swallow. Like at the very beginning when he talks about why the games are here and so aren't the games so wonderful? And as you watch that, you think, oh, well, maybe they're there for, oh, it's so because of how the government has this propaganda and they pitch it. There's a lot of that goes on today. And what they do in the movie, though, is they give a clear-cut evil. Like, oh, here's the government's really evil here. It's really bad. So it shows you, oh, we got to take out the system. But really, in one sense, her world's kind of like ours because it actually is supposed to be the United States. You know, you got economic meltdown. You got a lot of demonstrations going on in a lot of places. You have this desire for people to have freedom. It's a universal cry on behalf of everyone that's out there. We all feel bullied by the system. You know, her situation and the way it's worked out may be a little foreign to us, but her feelings and hope in this broken society, I think, are very relevant to how we feel today. And as I said, in the books and in the movie, there's no mention of God, whether good or bad in any way whatsoever. And I really think when you have no God and no future, it really leads to no hope. Because this is the problem of the world that seeks to exist apart from God. Where there is no God, the cruel oppress the weak and the strong live off the masses and propaganda floods everyone's lives telling what you need to believe. I mean, this happened in Nazi Germany with Hitler's youth. And they went into actual churches and the church youth ministries were centered around Hitler's youth. I mean, this is the idea of what happens in this. It happens in Russia under Stalin. Happens in North Korea today. I think it's slowly I think it's slowly happening in the USA today. Jeremiah 29:11 reminds us of God's words, and he says this: "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts to peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." I mean, there have been many times in our world where people try to silence God, but God always seems to break through on the other side because this is his world. And no matter what we go through in life, there's always this hope because there's always a reason to go on because of the intense love God has for us. Now, if you look at all the parallels between this movie and Israel society, in Israel, the largest holiday that they had was Passover. Passover is this holiday of commemorance, remembrance of God's deliverance of Israel from slavery and bondage and death in Egypt. He sends a succession of plagues against the Egyptians for how they treated God's people and God himself. And the final, most devastating plague was the killing of each firstborn male child that was not in covenant relationship with God. And how you'd show that your family was in covenant relationship with God, you take the blood of a lamb and you would sacrifice the lamb, you put the blood on the doorway to your home. And this showed that your family was in covenant relationship with God, that your family had passed from death into life, that you trusted and you had faith in God. And so the Feast of Passover became this memorial event that God passed over his children, spared them death, and brought them out of slavery and into life. And so people from all over the country every year would come to the capital city and they would offer up their sacrifices during this feast. And you would offer up lambs. Lambs were typically chosen on a Monday for a Friday sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 5:7, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. So Jesus, it was our Passover lamb sacrificed for our sin. In John 12, Jesus enters into Jerusalem, the capital city, on a Monday. He is set aside as the perfect sacrifice on a Monday. And so Jesus dies in the right place at the right time in the right way. Passover is enormous, literally. There's 250,000 sacrifices that took place. The amount of blood that came out of the temple was staggering. One sacrifice was about a four family of 10. So you have 2 to 3 million people gathering in on these days. And what you see in the movie is Katniss substitutes herself for her sister. She travels to the capital city where she in turn becomes the sacrifice for rebellion, the sins of her district's people. Now, the Hunger Games, you know, among all the people in this capital, it's like the Super Bowl. It's like the biggest holiday, the biggest thing that we can come up with. And the heartbreaking reality is everybody in all the outlying districts are watching to see which of their kids are going to die for the capital's entertainment because the capital's children don't have to participate in the games. And Katniss may be the inspiration for this rebellion to pan in, but for us, I think she's a metaphor for what Christ came and did. You know, she offers herself up as the tribute in the place of her sister because of her love for her sister. In the same way, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us in our place because of his great love for us. John 15:13, no one has greater love than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. But I also don't think that the idea of Katniss's substitution is completely paralleling Christ. You know why? Because there's more games next year? No. Because what you see is that Jesus substituted himself for the unworthy. Katniss goes in, she substitutes herself for Prim, her sister, who's presented to us as innocent. She is not a sinner. I mean, think about this. Would Katniss have offered herself for anybody else but her sister? No, she wouldn't have. Definitely not the cat, right? It's like, hey, I'll cook you instead. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, Jesus does die for the unworthy. I think there's someone in this movie that really does mirror Christ a little bit better than Katniss. You know, and it's a character who throughout the few books and throughout the movie, you're always wondering about his character, if he's really true in what he says. And this is PETA. You know, PETA, the supplier of bread. In this. And he is even someone Katniss doesn't even really respect at first. The books really flesh this out a lot better. She distrusts his motivation. But yet PETA, he claims to have loved her since she was a child. He continues to desire a relationship with her even because of her flaws. PETA is grieved that her affections are only for her own survival. He's willing to lay down his life for her and doesn't even let Katniss in on his whole plan. You know, because he knows that she's going to chafe and resist against it. And I'm really sorry if you haven't read the books. I'm not going to try and give you too much, but I am. I'm really sorry. I got to bring this together for you. And in the later books, Peter, what happens is he becomes tortured severely. He ends up, I would say, even psychologically slaughtered. But his love and character ultimately rise again, become the foundation that Katniss eventually will build her life and her hope and her future on. And this is the push of Scripture. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Now, PETA's name was chosen by Collins, who wrote the book, because it sounds a lot like, it's P-E-E-T-A, but it sounds a lot like pita bread. And so that's kind of, she's PETA, it sounds good to, as a baker. But if you look at the name PETA, it actually has some Greek roots in it. It's a feminine form of Peter, which means rock. And whether it's intentional or subconscious, I don't know. But it's curious that Colin chooses the word that you can associate with the firm foundation of a rock and sustenance bread for our body. And in the end, Katniss receives love from the one who first loved her, who continues to love her despite her mistrust and scorn, who didn't shirk back from action but ultimately treasures peace in the end. Instead of simply hiding and hunting for survival, the life she would probably have with Gale if she ran off with him into the woods, PETA's hope even makes Katniss' desire risk later in the books being fruitful, forging a future and building a family legacy together. Now, no human peril can be perfect in any of this, but I think PETA is much more a picture of Christ in the Hunger Games. Because really, is it Katniss' single act of loving substitution for her sibling, or a man who demonstrates long-suffering perseverance to someone less deserving? See, Jesus loved and provided for us when we wouldn't even give him a second chance. James Harlan wrote this about the parallels between Jesus and PETA and Katniss and all this and his life in Jesus. He says, "My initial devotion to him was him manifest as simple necessity, as outward appearance, at best a tactical desire to escape the arena of hell, but lacking any genuine inward affection for the one who first loved me. Eventually, realizing how much he sacrificed for me, Christ's long suffering brought me to humbled and willing relationship. He is now my foundation, my rock, and sustainer, the bread of life." I think that's the best parallel out of the movie. And I think there's one more other thing, really quickly. It's a little subtle scene, and it's really short in the movie. Haymitch is sitting in one of the squares in the Capitol, and there's this father and mom with a couple kids, and the kids are running around with the sword, right? And the one kid's chasing his sister around, starts trying to stab his sister. And this is kind of too much to bear, because Haymitch knows these privileged children will never have to compete in these games. I believe that as Christians, we must understand the great blessing that has been given to you and I in Christ. We are now like the children in that capital who will never know what it means to make these yearly treks to the temple because we have been selected by Christ. We have been loved. We've been given hope. And we should never take that for granted. But remember what our great God did to save us. He substitutes himself for the unworthy so we can be worthy. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Anything else? Anybody else? You're like, no, that about does it. Okay. Why don't you guys pray with me? Father, we thank you for being a God who substitutes himself for us and calls us your own. We ask that we would be a people who love and honor who you are in our lives because we see ourselves through your eyes and what your son has done for us. So we would live lives that bring you full glory. Amen. 2 weeks we are doing, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes. If you guys want to come back, if you haven't seen it, a lot of people are like, oh, it's actually a very good, I cried. Okay. It's actually a very good movie. So we invite you guys to come back 2 weeks, 6 o'clock, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Thanks for coming.